This morning, amen. And turn to Genesis in chapter number 50. Genesis in chapter number 50. And I'm going to try to preach this morning on what God meant for good. What God meant for good. And I challenge you to be back tonight and to be here at 6 o'clock. We'll be in the book of Galatians, and primarily Galatians 6:10. And it's a conclusion of the message we started last week in sowing and reaping. And in and it is really verse number 10 is the how-to. And we've saved that for tonight. We broke it up into 2 weeks. But looking at, so how do I sow good seed? And if we're going to reap what we sow, we might want to be interested in what we're sowing. And how do we make sure we're sowing good seed? And verse number 10 tells us how to do that. It gives us the practice, if you will, of sowing good seed. So I encourage you to be here as we look in Galatians in chapter 6 at the message this evening. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you, as will this. But Genesis in chapter number 50. Genesis in chapter number 50. If you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God, we're just going to start in verse number 15. Read down through verse number 21. And if you'd follow along with me, there's a Bible right there in the pew in front of you if you don't have one. Genesis 50. And follow along with me as I read in verse number 15. It says, "When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead," that's Jacob, Israel, "they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sins, for they did not see, they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants, of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." That's not what their father said. This is, again, a lie of the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, trying to watch out for their own selves. Their father taught them well in doing so. And Joseph wept because that wasn't the heart of Joseph at all towards his brethren and towards what they had done. It says in verse number 18, "And his brethren went also and fell down before his face and said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it is as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and will comfort them and speak kindly unto them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the example of Joseph in the Scripture. Lord, that he would teach us how to properly respond to the situations and the circumstances of life. Lord, everyone here has a different set of circumstances in their life. Everyone here has a different hardship, maybe a different battle, a different struggle, a different trial. But Lord, we have the same good God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord God, we just ask that you would just allow that we would respond properly to the circumstances of the life of life that we have. And God, that you would receive glory from us. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we looked at the response to Jacob at the end of his life, at the end of his troubles, at the end of his trials. He looked at the circumstances about them, and he declared that all the things were against him. All the things that are happening in his life and had happened to him, they were against him. And certainly, he was not the first one to go through the circumstances of life that he had went through, but he was convinced that everything was and everyone was against him, and that this that the life that he was living was a life that was difficult because of those who are around him. When the reality is, and we looked at this, we tried to bear this out of Scripture, that Jacob had created his own problems, and Jacob had made his own bed, and he had sown his own seed, amen, and he was reaping what he had sown. And the reality is that for us today, when we look at Joseph's life and we see Joseph's response when he is confronted with the trials and the troubles of life, is that Joseph responded differently to the troubles and trials that were faced that he faced in his life than his father Jacob did. And we made this statement last week, and I believe it to be a very true statement. Life is not about what happens to us. Life is about how we respond. Life is not what about is not about what happens to us. Life is about how we respond. As I was studying this week, I read this quote by Corrie Ten Boom, who was a survivor of the prisoner of war camps, a Jewish survivor of the war camps, and she said this. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And we know there is a God, and we can look at Joseph's life and the troubles that Joseph faced and the trials that Joseph had when he was with his brethren after he received a instruction of the Lord, a dream from the Lord, and he told them about it. They hated him yet the more, and they sold him into slavery, and he was found in Potiphar's house, and he was faced with an opportunity to sin and commit fornication. He said, "Man, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" I mean, God was at the forefront of Joseph's mind all through his story. God was present and God was part of his story. And God was part of what was going on in his life. And we see him in the prison when he had opportunity to hear from God again and to reveal the secrets of the dreams. He doesn't claim to be an interpreter of dreams himself, but it is God who gives the answer. It was God who was going to give these men in the prison, the butler and the baker, he was going to give them the interpretation of the dream. And then when he stands before Pharaoh and he's pronounced to be the one that can interpret dreams, he's very quick to stop and to let Pharaoh know, no, it's not me that is able to give interpretation of dreams, but it's God through me. It is God through me. And all through Joseph's life, throughout all of his troubles, throughout all of his trials, we see one common factor and one common thread, that Joseph had a close relationship with God. And Joseph walked with God. And as we look at his life, we would find out that he was able to live a life of grace because he walked with God. And his response, listen, and his response to the circumstances of life was not that God had failed him and that everyone around him was against him, but that, listen, God was in control and the will of God was going to be done, and he was able to trust in a God that had a perfect plan for his life. My father had this plaque hung on his wall. I remember it. It was always in his office as I was growing up. It's still there today. It says this: "The will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you." The will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I believe that to be a very true statement, because the will of God sometimes will lead us into some difficult things. The will of God, if you look at the life of the disciples, it led them into some storms. The will of God led them into some storms, but the presence of God was never absent from them. Listen, God was always there with them. Christ was always there with them. And it's important for us to understand the will of God will not lead us where the grace of God cannot keep us. It's amazing how we have quotes. I remember one of the first things when I got here, 8 years ago now. Next week we'll be in here 8 years. It's hard to believe, but been 8 years. And when I first walked in the office, one of the things the former pastor, Brother Kuvert, left on the shelf was a little ship that had that quote sitting right on it. Man, I was like, praise the Lord. That was just an encouragement to me to see that quote, something from my father's office. I then opened the desk. It was interesting. I opened the desk. I found another quote that was there in the desk that my mother had hanging up in her kitchen. And that was encouraging as well. It says, "We the willing, led by the unknowing, are doing the impossible for the ungrateful. We've now done so much for so long with so little. We're qualified to do anything with nothing." Amen. Quotes are encouraging. You ought to learn some quotes. But I see this truth of the will of God not leading you where the grace of God cannot keep you to be very true and very real here in the life of Joseph. And Joseph was saturated throughout his life. He was saturated by the grace of God being upon him. And it was all around him. And let me just say this. It's not because God was willing to extend grace to Joseph that he's not willing to extend to us. To you personally. No. The grace of God that God offers to all men, the God of all grace, He offers grace to all men. It's available to you as well, but this is what you're going to find out, that Joseph continually walked with God, gave God the credit, and looked to God to perform His will. He was able to serve God and to excel in areas of life that had that would be very much difficult, and that would have been circumstances that would have been unfavorable. He was able to see God work, and he was able to give God the glory because he was willing to trust that God was still in control, and that God had not left him, and that God had not abandoned him. As we come to the end of the biblical account of Joseph's life, we see him making some statements that quite honestly might blow the mind of most human rationale. I mean, for most human beings and most people who think with a human mind and a human heart, we look at them and we say, man, how could he act like that? How could he make these statements? He or his brothers felt that Joseph was going to treat them how men treat each other. That's what Joseph was afraid of. Now that Dad's gone, Joseph is going to treat us how he really wants to treat us in his heart. How we have treated him, it's going to be repaid on us. And they say so in verse number 15. Joseph will peradventure hate us. All the horrible things we did to him, all the things that he went through because of us, he is going to hate us. And now our father's gone. There's nothing stopping him, if you will, from bringing that hatred down upon us. And he says he will require of us the evil which we did unto him. Joseph, now that Dad's gone, Joseph is going to come after us. He's going to show us harshness. He's going to show us anger. He's going to enact his revenge upon us. We're going to see pride and selfishness now come from him. But listen to me, that's in fact quite the opposite of what we see coming from Joseph. In fact, we see him looking at his brothers and weeping to them, and he wept to them because they felt that that's how he would respond and what they would receive from him. It made him to weep that they thought that he was going to be vengeful and he was going to be angry with them. And in a time where certainly Joseph could have been, and certainly that would have been the natural response of men, we find Joseph offering forgiveness and love and compassion and care and grace. Joseph didn't respond like normal men because Joseph wasn't looking at men and blaming men for his circumstance. Listen to me. Jacob looked at men, and Jacob blamed all the things that were happening to him upon those who were around him. And Joseph looked at circumstance and just saw that God had a plan, and God had a purpose, and God had a work that he desired to do. And instead of blaming his brothers and instead of blaming God, Joseph looked to God, and Joseph saw that God was doing a good work for others in his life. I want to just examine just a few statements that Joseph makes, primarily in verse number 20 and 21. He says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." Ye thought evil against me. That's the way of the world. That's the thought of the world. Joseph makes this statement. I just wonder if in his mind the past 20 years or so might have flashed back as he makes the statement that you thought evil against me. When I was telling you what God was doing in my life and you were jealous and you were angry at me for our father loving me, which, listen, Joseph couldn't control that his father gave him a coat of many colors. Joseph couldn't control that he had favor in his life. That's not of his doing, that was of Jacob's doing, but his brethren hated him for it. They were despised him for it, and so his home life, you understand, would have been a little rocky. It wouldn't have been a fun place to be around 10 brothers that hate you. Come on, having brothers that love you sometimes isn't a fun place to be. Amen. Brothers will love you to death. Amen. Brothers will love you to death, and yet listen, he had 10 brothers that hated his guts. I'm not trying to just use that lightly. No, they wanted him dead. They wanted him gone. They wanted him out of the scene. They thought that their problems were Joseph and that Joseph was the cause. If Joseph wasn't around, our father would love us like we should, like he should, which didn't end up being true. Jacob did not. I wonder if he remembered the day his brother took him and threw him in a pit. I wonder if he remembered the day his brother sold him into slavery. All the evil that they had done. I wonder if he ever sat in prison and he thought, man, I wonder what would have happened if my brothers hadn't sold me into slavery. I wonder if I'd be here today. When he was forgotten there for 2 years, it would have been very easy in our flesh and in the natural state of man to sit back and to wonder all the different things that might have happened if they had not done evil against him. Not only did Joseph know what they did against him was evil, the brethren, listen, they knew it was evil. They knew it was evil. Joseph will peradventure hate us and requite us all the evil, verse number 15, which we did unto him. In fact, they looked at Joseph and in verse number 18 said, listen, we'll just be your servants. Joseph, if you just allow us to be your servants, don't kill us, don't wipe us off the face of this earth. Even though Joseph had the power and the ability to do so. And they looked at Joseph and said, Joseph, if you just let us serve you, we'd love to be your servants. And Joseph, listen, he didn't have that mind at all. They had the mind like the prodigal son. The prodigal son who took his living and went out and wasted it on riotous living. And then he came back to, when he came to himself, he came back to his father and began to ask for forgiveness. And the father said, no, listen, you're my son. We're going to kill the fatted calf. We're going to put a ring on your finger. We're going to put the robe upon you. And listen, the son just thought, if I could just be a servant in the father's house, then I'd be in a place where at least I was being taken care of. And the son said, no. Or the father said, looked at the son and said, no, you can never be a servant. You're a son. You're a son. They would be excited. They weren't expecting much of Joseph. They thought evil even against Joseph to his hurt. They thought evil of Joseph even after Joseph had saved their lives. Men want to look at the ways of God and they want to apply them to their own human nature. Listen, God's love is different than man's love. God's love is different than man's love. Man's love can get to a point to where, listen, men will say, man, I just have lost my love for this individual. I've lost my love for this church. I've lost my love for a whole number of different things. And men have, while they love one thing one day, we can turn and we can walk away from it the next. God's love isn't like that. God says, listen, I've loved all mankind. I'll continue to love all the world. I'll continue to shed my love upon the world. I'll continue to offer grace to the world. This world doesn't know anything about God's grace. This world's grace runs out. This world has a grace that, you can mess up once and we might forgive you. You mess up twice, maybe we'll forgive you. You mess up a third time and you've struck out with this world. That's the world's grace. And many times we want to look at God and we want to make feel like God is that way. And we don't understand, how in the world could God forgive me? How in the world could God forgive a sinner like me? Men have such a hard time understanding the forgiveness of God because they don't understand the grace of God and they don't understand the love of God. And how in the world could it be that a God in heaven would look at the things that I've done and would know who I am and would know the sin that I've committed, and yet he would still forgive me? And we act many times like the prodigal son that comes to the father and they say, listen, I'm not worthy to be called the son. I'm not worthy to be saved. And the father says, anyway, listen, I'm going to make you a son. You say, well, we wouldn't hold Joseph accountable if Joseph did exact violence on them. Well, why is that? Because that's how we would respond. No, that's how we respond. Somebody cuts me off. Oh man, I'm gonna. We get road rage. Come on, listen. Somebody harms us. Somebody hurts us. Our first thought is not, you know what? I'm gonna just pray that God will bless them really good, and I just hope God just showers them with blessings. That's not. Listen, that is not the first thought of our sinful nature. Our first thought is generally, oh, man, I'm gonna get even, and how could they do this against me? And that's our first thought of the nature of man. And his brethren thought that's exactly his first thoughts as well. Joseph didn't minimize their sin. He was up front with them. Listen, you thought evil against me. You wanted me dead. You wanted me gone. You wanted me to get out of the way. But listen, God meant it for good. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. And listen to me, God looks down at all men who are sinners. And God looks down at all men who have been caught in their sin and who know their sin and who know they have no right standing before God. And God says, listen, while you were yet a sinner, I died for you. While you were yet a sinner, I died for you. And you can try to serve me and you can try to appease me any way you want, but there's no amount of service that is going to appease God for the sinful nature that you have and the sin that you've committed. There's no works that you can do for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So even though you say, listen, God, I'll be the greatest servant you've ever had, that's not what God's looking for. God's established his son that we might be able to find forgiveness for our sin. And God doesn't minimize your sin, friend. God didn't say, listen, I'm going to sacrifice my son to pay for your sin because your sin wasn't that big a deal. No, no, it's such a big deal that he knew you could not pay for it yourself. So he sent his son to be able to make the payment for you. And the brothers thought they had been... That if they were just sorry enough and that they just served Joseph enough, that they might be able to make up for the wrong that they had done, that they might be able to make up for, be able to show their penance unto Joseph. It's like many who want to work their way to heaven and want to show forth to God that they're a good person and they have good works. Listen, it's not going to make the payments. In order for salvation to be complete, Christ died and rose again. And now we, listen, now all we need to do is not to show forth to God how good we are and all the great things we can do and how great a servant we can be. No, we need to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. It's what he desires for us. He knew that we had been evil in our hearts, and Joseph knew that his brothers had evil in their hearts towards him, but he also knew that God had overruled their evil deeds to accomplish his good purposes. Come on. He knew that while they were evil in their hearts, God had overruled them and God had a bigger plan, and God was able to use their evil for good. It says in verse number 20, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. God designed good should come by it. Listen, God designed that that good would come out of it. He used their sin to make Joseph a greater blessing to his family than otherwise he ever could have been. That's what God did. God, these men thought we're going to act of our own and we're going to do this of ourselves. No, no, no. The entire time God had a purpose and a plan. And where at one time they hated him for suggesting to them that they would bow down unto him. And you're going to have to go back in the story to get that. But he suggested to them that they were going to bow down to him one day because God had told them that was going to take place. Now they were willfully willing to bow down unto him. They were desiring and asking him, if we could just be your servants, if we could just be underneath you, if we could just be in servitude to you. God can take some of the worst things in our lives and bring good out of them. Listen, God can take the worst circumstances that you can think of. And maybe you're going through those circumstances right here and now today. And you're facing battles that you think, man, my goodness, there's no answer to this. There's no way good can come out of this. Listen, you're not looking at it through the eyes of God. And you're not looking at it by the grace of God. And you're not looking at it by the sovereign hand of God. Because God is able to take that which is you might look at as evil. And that which you might look at as a horrible circumstance. And God is able to make good out of it. Doesn't matter what brought it upon, whether you brought it upon yourself. Or like Joseph, you had no choice in the matter. Just bad came upon you. Give your life to God. Give your circumstance to God. God can make something good out of your circumstance. He can. If you go over to Acts in chapter number 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts in chapter number 2. And in verse number 23, he says this. He's talking about Jesus Christ who being delivered in verse number 23, Acts 2, 23. He being delivered by the determinate counsel for the foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Listen to me. Men thought, listen, we're going to do away with Jesus. We're going to wipe him off the face of this earth. He's a nuisance to us. He's a bother to us. We're tired of his teaching. We're tired of him trying to tell us how we've got everything wrong and how we need to turn our life over to God and how we need to receive him as the Messiah. He's not the Messiah we want. We're going to crucify him. We're going to get rid of him. And listen to me. They thought they could set up a council of false accusations, and they thought they could hang him upon a cross, and they thought they could put him in a grave, and they thought they could even seal it, and they could put guards on it. And they could keep him in there. But listen to me. They had no control over the sovereign hand of God and over the power of God and the plans that God had already worked out. Even through all the worst, most wicked sin that was committed against the holy God by men. Listen to me. Men could not overrule God. They couldn't. They couldn't overrule God. It's not possible that they would overrule God. God was able to take one of the most wicked sins committed upon himself and turn it not into just good for him that he rose up from the grave, but he turned it into good for all mankind. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I'm telling you, my friend, God turned his death, his burial, and his resurrection into something good for you. Turn it into something good for you. And Joseph was able to go through struggles. He was able to be a slave. He was able to receive false accusation. And he was able to go through those things. And he was still able to come out and listen to me and look up into heaven and say, man, God's good. Man, I've been through so many hardships. I've been through so many trials. But God's good. God's great. And look at the blessing I get to be now. No, that's what Joseph was looking at. Joseph wasn't looking at, man, I'm just struggling forgiving you. I'm having a hard time getting over the circumstances you put me in. I'm having a hard time getting... No. Joseph looked at the circumstances and was able to look at it and say, listen, God meant this for good. And now I get to save much people alive. I get to be a blessing to you. I get to be a blessing to you. Look at what Joseph says. Verse number 21. Or in verse number... the end of verse number 20 and 21. He says, God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Those who had done him evil, those who had caused him harm and hurt, he nourished them. And their children, he comforted them. He spoke kindly unto them. He didn't just send them away. Say, listen, you guys are a bunch of knuckleheads. You've hurt me. You've harmed me. Now get out of my sight. I don't want to talk to you again. You're fine. I'm not gonna harm you. I'm not gonna hurt you. But you know what you are, and you know what you've done, and you know I don't have anything to do with you. And you know why? No. Joseph's forgiveness was so great for them. He wept that the fact that they would even have that kind of response, that they thought he would have that kind of response. He said, no, I desire to comfort you. I desire to take care of you, nourish you. I want to speak kindly with you. I want to have you as a brother. That was Joseph's desire. Yeah, that was Joseph's goal. Joseph didn't struggle with whether he was going to forgive them or not. Joseph didn't struggle with whether or not he was going to be able to even have a conversation with them. They'd messed up Joseph's goals and ambitions. They caused him hurt and defeat. Could have put him in a place where he did desire to have anger and revenge upon them. But you see, Joseph wasn't here void of feelings. That's not what we see in Joseph's life. It's like, man, didn't Joseph couldn't even have been a real man. He must have just been void of feelings altogether, that he wasn't angry and he wasn't bitter and he wasn't mad and he wasn't seeking revenge. He just was void of feelings. That's not true. No, Joseph was simply submitted to God. He was not void of feeling. He was submitted to God. Joseph understood that God was at work and God had a plan. And the plan was this: Joseph, I've got to take you through all of these troubles and all of these trials so that I can get you in a place to where you can be the greatest blessing to my people that you could possibly be. And listen to me, when we go through the circumstances of life and the trials of life, and we go through things that will befall us by the hand of people that want to do hurt to us and want to do evil to us, we have two options here. We can look at the circumstances like Jacob did and act like everything is against us and everyone's against us and everyone's trying to hurt me and harm me. Or we can have the attitude and spirit of Joseph, who trusted in the will of God, who in the midst of his circumstances continued to give God glory and continued to walk with God. And at the end of the story, he just looked back and said, "Now, I don't have any ill feelings or hurt against you. God meant this for good, and you can trust that I'm excited that I get to be a blessing to you." Many times we scream and cry and whine to God about the circumstances we're in. And if God could pick us up from where we are and take us to the end of the story, listen to my friend, I'm convinced of this. I know it's not the first time I've said it to you before, but if we can get to the end of a story and God could look back and turn us around and show us about all the hardships and trials that we're going to go through, and we'd have to go back with God, if we had this opportunity to have this kind of transcendent experience where we could go back and say, "God, you're going to create that, and you're going to give me that, and you're going to accomplish that by this." Listen to me. It'd be impossible for us in our circumstances sometimes to imagine how God could make what he's planning and God could accomplish what he's planned by all the things we're going through. But that's exactly how God works. Because God's wanting you to get to the end of a trial and wanting you to the end of a trouble. Not that you can stand up and pound on your chest and say, "Listen, now I'm in charge and I'm going to exact my vengeance now that I've come through. I'm going to get what's due to me out of everybody." No, 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 that we can look back and say, "Now I get to be a blessing to everybody. Now I get to have the nature of God towards men. Who looks at men, and while they were yet sinners, he died for them." He looks at men while we were willfully in our sin and we were willfully sinning, Christ said, "Listen, I love you. I'm going to give myself for you." And we see the exact same nature from Joseph as he looks at his brothers and he is willing to offer them forgiveness and comfort and, listen, and blessing. He didn't find his position in life as one that needs to be escaped, one that needs to be revenged. But he found his position in life as one that was being used of God to be a blessing to others. You understand with me, child of God, there's someone else that's going through maybe the same or even worse trial than you are going through. They're going through the same or worse trial than you're going through. And what they need is not to see someone complaining and whining and screaming and crying about the circumstances of their life, but one who's able to stand up and go, "You know what? This was my testimony, and this is what God was able to do." I'm telling you, yeah, that's a horrible circumstances, but listen to me. You can trust God. And you can trust this, that God's going to comfort you. God's going to nourish you. God's going to provide. God's going to see you through that trial. And listen, one day you're going to look back and you're going to wonder, how in the world did God create this out of that mess? How could he do it? Many times we try to escape our circumstances when God is trying to use us in them. We try to escape them. I remember my wife and I mean, she was just completely head over heels for me. And I was like, "Yeah, I like you too, you know." And I went and talked to her dad and I said, "You know, I just think here I'm a sophomore in college and, you know, just super uber spiritual, you know." And I told him that, you know, God had talked to me and just showed me that she was the right girl for me and that he wanted us to get married. And he said, "Oh, okay, great. I'll get back to you about that. Let me pray about that and I'll get back to you. And I was thinking, yeah, this is a spiritual decision. You should pray about it. That'd be very good. What I wasn't prepared for was that was going to be a 2-year prayer closet thing. I mean, 2 years. I mean, I'm like, man, I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I'm in Bible college. I'm doing right and all these things. And I would call Brother Brown and I'd say, hey, Brother Brown, I just, Josh Carter, I don't know if you forgot that we talked a year ago and you were going to pray. And it was every time. I called him 3 or 4 times and trying to get him to, talk to me and at least have a conversation with me and what's going on, why we're going through this. And every time he told me this just ridiculous story about when he was in boot camp. And he's a Marine, so he likes talking about Marines and all that kind of stuff. And so he'd tell me this story about, when I was in the Marines, they one day they took us. It was the same story every time. They took him into this big pool area, and they had everybody laying face down on the water, and they showed them how to do it. You have to turn their head to the side and take a breath, and they just had to stay there and kind of just tread water face down. And they said they left us in the pool, and he said slowly, as the day went on, as the time went on that they were in the pool, they'd pull somebody out, and he'd just be there treading water, face down. He didn't know what was going on. You can't really see what's happening, and you can't really hear what's going on as you're there just face down in the water. But he said it got to where they were there for a long period of time just treading water, and one guy would get taken out, and another guy would get taken out. And he said, the whole time as I was noticing I was one of the last people in the pool, he said, I was thinking that, man, I'm doing this wrong. They're obviously making me stay in here till I get it right. And what was taking place was they were pulling everybody else out of the pool and they're saying, no, watch this guy. And watch this guy. And they're taking everybody else that was doing it wrong and they were making an example of that individual that was doing it correctly. And many times we fight and we struggle and we wonder, why in the world am I going through this? And why in the world am I experiencing this? And sometimes it's just about God just trying to put a spotlight and say, no, let's see if you can do this correctly. Let's see if you'll just stay with this thing. Let's see. I mean, and she's had her doubts about staying with it, but I'm pretty content that it was the right way to go. Amen. But listen to me. Many times we fight and we think, my goodness, and I got tired of hearing that story. I just thought, man, that's a dumb story. Told it to me again for the 4th time. But listen to me. God knows where you are, and God knows the water that you're treading, and God knows the difficulty of your life. And listen to me, at the end of it, God has a purpose to bring good out of it. That's His desire, and that's His goal, is to bring good out of it. And God knew what Joseph needed and didn't need it to, listen, not to accomplish what Joseph felt was best for him, but to accomplish God's will in Joseph's life. And at the end of it, I'm pretty confident Joseph was pretty content as the most powerful man in the world at the time, looking out with great power, great wealth, great authority. Joseph was not looking going, God, I just don't know why you've put me here. Come on. Why did I have to have this? No. Joseph said, listen, I was able to come through all of that so that I could be a blessing to you. So that I could show forth the goodness of Almighty God. And most of us get messed up because we want our goals instead of His. Listen to that. Get that. We mess up our lives and we mess up the lives of others, and we do not respond with the grace of God and with the love of God in life because we want our goals, not His. We want Him to conform to what we think is best instead of us conforming our lives to what He has deemed is best. And in fighting what we see as a punishment and as a trial, we miss the greatest blessings that God desires, listen, not just to give to us. Come on, it's not just about you, and life is not just about you. And in fighting God, we don't just miss the greatest blessings that God desires to give to us. We miss the greatest blessings that we can be to others because we are not willing to face the trials nor the circumstances, tread the water, so to speak, that God has given us to tread. So I ask you this question today. Are you willing to submit to the trials of your life today so that you might have the will of God tomorrow and that you might be a blessing to others tomorrow. You say, but I just don't like the trials. I get that. I don't like trials either. It's not like I'm saying, hey, God, give me more trials. I just keep them coming. No, no, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying this, though, that if we'll have a proper outlook on the God of heaven that's looking down on us and loves us and cares for us and desires good for us and wants to comfort us and wants to nourish us, and that's who God is, that we can get through the trial that we're currently facing so that we can one day turn around and show forth the goodness of God to other men. Yeah. Because God means all things for good to all men. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.